back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at the same number. I want to thank Sandy Williams for filling in for me and doing a more than admirable job. You know, Sandy, before we went to break, this is a paragraph that I must read because it coincides with what we were just talking about. And this was former President Franklin Delano Roosevelt 40 years ago. And he had this to say. In December 1940, 16 months into World War II and 1 year before the U.S. became a combatant, Roosevelt told Americans that to avoid military engagement while protecting national interests, the United States needed to support the nations defending themselves against attack by the Axis. He continued, referring primarily to Britain, the people of Europe, who are defending themselves, do not ask us to do their fighting. They asked us for the implements of war, the planes, the tanks, the guns, the freighters, which will enable them to fight for their liberty and our security. He insisted America must be the great arsenal of democracy. We must apply ourselves to our task with the same resolution, the same sense of urgency, the same spirit of patriotism and sacrifice as we would show if we were at war. That's where we are now, Sandy. And so why should we be that? And how can we afford to be that? And so the American people suffer for that reason?
Well, you know, the circumstances were quite different. I mean, I know there are people trying to compare the Russian campaign in Ukraine to the initial campaigns of Hitler and suggesting that it's just the beginning of the same kind of danger. But what was going on in Europe and the invasion of, for instance, initially Czechoslovakia, then Poland, were really far different. And they were not Germany taking countries or doing war with countries where there was the same kind of circumstance. It was really just Germany reaching out to take land which they wanted. There was the Alsace-Lorraine in France that they coveted. There was the Sudetenland in Czechoslovakia. There was Poland, and it was just open aggression and extremely ambitious aggression. And the United States was coming out of isolationism at that point. We had almost no standing army. We had very little in the way of munitions to provide. And we had a depression that we were climbing out of. And we reawakened our economy in many respects by building up our munitions capability and the Lend-Lease program, which we entered into to send equipment to the European combatants. And it was really in lieu of America sending troops there, which ultimately we ended up doing because of the Pearl Harbor invasion and Hitler unilaterally declaring war without invading us, because I guess he expected us to enter the war anyway. I think it was a very different circumstance. And I think that we've taken the military-industrial complex to the point where we've maintained readiness to be a participant in something like World War II for, that Roosevelt statement was 82 years ago, and we've maintained that readiness for war at a World War II level for the last 72 years, since 1950. And it's taken an enormous toll in the American economy, and it's shifted our societal values a great deal, and it's created an interest group which Dwight Eisenhower described as the military-industrial complex, which has had great sway over how our tax dollars are spent, and it's a very big social worry. I would suggest that the reason we don't have, or one of the reasons we don't have, the kind of social safety net that supports vibrant economies in Europe is because we have had such a huge defense budget that has incapacitated us from considering these other programs that are designed and aimed much more at the American people.
So, Sandy, how do you then, from your perspective, knowing we're going into recession, as you projected. We're headed towards recession, interest rates climbing, inflation, which is going to cut down resources for the American people, and then an increase in military spending. How does all that balance out?
Well, it doesn't. It suggests really that there'll be increasing deficits going forward. You know, during recessions, you run deficits as the way to support an economy and to try and keep the recession from getting too deep. That was why I said it was such a sin for the Trump administration to have tax cuts, which not only created immediate deficits during a time of boom, but which assured that during a time of recession, we would have even bigger deficits because the tax revenues would go down with the reduction in GDP or the reduction in the growth of GDP. And so, you know, it portends bad things. It creates bigger deficits going forward, higher interest rates, will require much greater commitment of tax dollars to servicing our debt, which the much greater cost of servicing debt will further increase deficits. So we're creating a deficit spiral that is going to be troublesome. And you know, whereas Keynesians have always said a big GDP can support a big ongoing deficit and a big national debt, we've never tested the boundary of that. And I fear that what we've created with the Trump tax decrease and now with the inevitable recession and with a wartime economy, we've created set the table for some very substantial problems.
You know, Sandy, from just, the last several years and the talk about the great economy and all those things, and then the twinkling of an eye, the bottom is falling out. And the pain that people are going to be feeling, this is not something, once again, that's going to be, you snap your finger and it's over. The pain that people are going to be suffering is going to be for a long time to come. And you know, some people, I don't know how they're going to be able to manage to pull through it. The safety net that you always talked about, which should be in place for times like these, is not there. It's not strong enough. And so we're headed for some hard times.
Well, I think that what's happening in the country is we're setting the table for a hard time societally. You know, we can talk about people suffering economically and in recessions, and we can talk about the sort of the bitter pill of that. But when things get too divisive, when things get too unsustainable, when people are between too tough a rock and a hard spot, it turns into a societal problem and a socioeconomic problem that could be a bombshell. And I just think that the American system is stressing itself unduly by the circumstance that we're creating here. And by stepping into much bigger defense expenditures, we're just going to create a much tighter and more difficult problem. We ought to have our eyes open, and we ought to be talking about this with much greater clarity and with much more care. And Earl, you do a good job of uncovering these things.
Well, you know, Sandy, tomorrow, we'll be back together and we'll spend more time talking about this because, you know, I mean, people, many of the American people aren't aware of this. And as you always say, those who can afford it won't hurt so much, but they're less and less of us who can. Thank everybody who made the show go. Sandy, thank you for stepping in and doing a great job. You and I will be back together again on tomorrow. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Be back tomorrow. Thank you, Sam. See you later.
Yep. See you.